parables are kind of a tricky way of saying things, so not everybody who hears will understand. And for some reason, you would think that Jesus would want everybody to understand everything he says. But no. He said to them who want to hear, more shall be given. More understanding will be given. To them who don't want to hear, it will be taken away what they think they know. So you have to open your ears to hear the word of God. Otherwise, Satan will steal the knowledge that you do have of the word of God. Now, today we're going to keep going, and I'm going to read two verses from the Bible. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 22. Okay? Now, in this scripture, Jesus gives us explanation of the parable that he spoke. How many of you know that Mark chapter 4 has the number one parable in the Bible? It's a gateway parable. It's a combination into the safe type of a parable. Jesus said this, if you don't understand the parable of a sower, four different types of soil, four different types of heart, you won't understand all the parables. So that's why we're spending so much time on this parable. Plus, the point of this parable is your fruitfulness and my fruitfulness. How cool is that? Nobody here today says, I don't want to be fruitful. I want to waste my life. I want to do nothing, be nothing. I want to die that nobody knows I was here. There's no, even loners are on YouTube. I know loners who have accounts and they do these things, and you would think they're so shy, but they want to make influence in this world. They want to, everyone wants to leave a slate in this world. Everyone wants to be fruitful, and everyone wants to multiply. Do you know why? Because in the beginning, when God created humanity, when he created Adam and Eve, the blessing that he spoke over them, he said this, be fruitful and multiply. Say it, be fruitful and multiply. Those words have been written on the soul, on the DNA of every human being. Everyone wants to live out their purpose. Everyone wants to achieve their God-given potential. Amen? We want to be fruitful. And in this parable, Jesus is explaining to us how to be fruitful. Amen. So the reason I'm spending so many weeks is so we could be fruitful. And I want to be fruitful. You know, it's great when a young family like that becomes fruitful and multiplies. Babies are amazing. Amen. Marriage is over here. Babies are like over here. They bring you a lot of joy and a lot of pain too. Like pain is, I heard, you know. I still have young children, so they, you know, pray for them, you know, for the future. But it's a good thing when you have a job and you are increasing and using your whole potential. Nobody wants to be stuck at a job that they hate. That's unfruitfulness. Amen? But it's exciting when you're getting promoted, when your business is growing, when whatever you do prospers. See, the only blessing that God spoke in the beginning, which tells us his intent for humanity, is be fruitful. And Jesus over here is returning us to the point. He says, I want you to be fruitful like this. And the seed that fell in the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce harvest 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as have been planted. So Jesus' first parable, the most important parable, is for you to be fruitful. God doesn't get glory when you are unfruitful. Satan is happy when you're unfruitful. But Jesus wants us to be fruitful. I have come so you may have life to the fullest.
Listen, I want to prophesy to you today that when you hear this word, when you apply it in your life, you will not leave this earth unfulfilled, not fulfilling your destiny. You will do everything that God has gave you life to do. How excited is that? I don't want to live my life and go to heaven with all these gifts that God wanted me to do here. And God says, what have you done? And I say, here's my talent. He says, go away from me. Amen? So God wants us to spend our life, to live our life, to achieve everything that He called us to be. Not our neighbor, but us. But me. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's read the next scripture. So we know, I give you the context if you don't know what we're talking about. Let's keep going. Then verse 21. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light up a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is not placed under the basket or a bed. If I put a lamp on a candle under your chair, Alvin, you'd probably run. It would burn the bed. It will make the basket hot. And last week I showed you the example that when you put a basket over a candle, what happens? The light goes out. Christian was not meant to live under the basket. You were not meant to be a cult, a secret society. You were meant to shine. If this room was totally dark, there was no lights today, I couldn't see you. I couldn't see the obstacles. I would start walking this way and fall. Right? That's what happens. People stumble in darkness. We were created to live in the light. Let me read my scripture. Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Amen. Let's go back into my original message. God wants you to be fruitful. Okay? But the question is, what does this light has to do with fruitfulness? It's like, Jesus, are you speaking? Did you jump to another message already? And the truth is, He didn't. He's speaking still about the same thing. He's still speaking about your fruitfulness. How many of you know that a plant cannot grow without a light? If you put plant in the darkness for a long time, it will wither. Because what light does, it breaks down nutrients, sugars and things like that. I'm not a biologist or by any means, but I know how it works. And it makes the tree or a plant alive. Amen. So I don't think Jesus is speaking out of context. But let's dive into this and see what is He really saying. Why light? What does this light have to do with it? And if you understand this message today, it will be very simple for you to practice fruitfulness in your life. Watch this. It all starts with the unbeliever or a person who walks in darkness. Now, the Bible says that Jesus came to save that which was lost. So, Jesus comes in, and how do you get a person who never heard about Jesus, how do you get a person who never heard about Jesus to accept Him in their life? How does he love God? How does he fear God? How does he worship God if he never heard of Him? So step number one, a person must hear the Word of God. Now, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So if you want a person to believe, the first step to believing, the person must hear the Word of God. How does he hear? How does a person hear about God. How does God come in into the person's heart? Through the Bible, through preaching, through a song on the radio, a Christian song on the radio, on TV, there could be a preaching. What else? What is the best way to get somebody saved? Personal testimony. Amen? No, help me out. Personal testimony. The best example of what works the best as far as people coming to Jesus is for them to hear from a friend or somebody they know. If a person gets saved on the street and nobody, and you leave them alone. So let's say this. I was walking on the street. I didn't know a person. I came to them and I said, do you believe in Jesus? They're like, I don't know. Well, do you want to pray a sinner's prayer? They say, yes. I pray for them and I leave them like that. The results are not going to be very good. I call that child abuse, spiritual child abuse. Because you don't just give birth to a baby. Because what are they called now? Born again. You don't give birth to a baby and you leave them on the street and say, well, go feed yourself with the word of God now. Come on, who's going to feed themselves with the word of God? One out of a million? Usually people will go and live the previous life that they lived. But if they know you and you can help them, if you can take them by the hand and says, come with me to church on Sunday. They'll probably say, no, I pray at home, I'm already saved, I feel good about it. God forgives me my sin. But if you pull them in, they will know more and they'll grow. That's called mentorship. Do you know that this works in business, the same thing? This works in marriages. If you're struggling with a marriage, you can go to somebody who's having a good marriage or who is a good example, and you can ask them to help you and walk with you. And most likely, your marriage will be good. If you're struggling financially and you know somebody who is doing good financially, and you come to them and say, hey, can you help me? I'm struggling financially. Most likely, you will get out of debt. Amen. So it's important not to say, go follow Jesus. It's important to say, come follow me as I follow Christ. We sometimes are lazy Christians. We want to get them out of our life as quick as possible because we're busy. We got relatives. We got friends. We got more than enough people in our life. And sometimes we can't fit one more. And we say, just go follow Jesus. Go read the Bible and you'll know. They won't understand it. You know, it takes teachers and preachers to explain the Word of God before it takes feeding the Word of God to people before they start feeding themselves. Just like babies. You give birth to a baby. You leave them, they're dead. And you go into jail. And I feel God feels the same way. He wants us to take some people by the hand and bring them with us. So the way a person receives Jesus in their heart is by you speaking the words. Or me speaking the words. Or a song singing the words. Amen? When they hear the word, something happens. The seed, Bible calls the word of God a seed, falls on different types of ground. Right? Some falls by the wayside, on a sidewalk. Birds of the air come and steal it. Some fall on a shallow ground. It starts growing, but then it withers. So zero. Doesn't produce anything. Some falls in a thorns. And the thorns come and choke it. Unproductive. But some fall on good ground, produce 30. There's 30 in there. Corn things, 60 or 100-fold. So watch this. You planted one and you got this. That's what God wants you to be. Right there. That's where God wants you to be. Amen. So when the word is heard, 3 out of 4 soils is unproductive. Do you know that 3 soils are bad soils? Sometimes we think, well, the sidewalk one is bad because, you know, it's been eaten. But the shallow ground is kind of good soil. And then the thorny is a little better. And then the best is here. No. 3 out of 4 are bad soils because they didn't produce anything. If you planted a garden and it didn't produce fruit, you go hungry. Amen. So God says, no, don't just say, I'm okay soil, I still need to work. No, God wants you to be a good soil. And a good soil is the one, when they hear a salvation message, they humble themselves. They say, God, I really do need you in my life. I'm not a good person. Instead of, the biggest hoax, biggest lie of the devil in our generation that everybody believes who are unsaved is this: I'm a good person. That's the lie. That's the deception of the devil. Because if you know who you truly are, when you come in the presence of Christ and see who you truly are, you'll see you're not that good of a person. Yesterday, me and my brother right here, we went with our family to lake, to the big lake, Okoboji. And this is kind of bad, all right? And we went to rent a boat, and so we come there, and the guy's like, there's two of you, and it's a big boat. Are you going to pick up anybody else? And we were like totally on the opposite side of the lake. It took us like 15 to 20 minutes to get, around the lake, on Lakeshore Drive, kind of. So when we got there, and the guy's like, are you sure you're not going to pick up anybody? And we're like, and he's smiling. I just don't answer, because we were going to go pick somebody up on the deck, and pick up our family and stuff, and go riding. And he's smiling, and the dude is like, why are you smiling? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to, nobody's going to ride this? And he's just smiling, laughing. And I'm like, come on, don't sell us. And I don't want to lie. I'm not going to lie, So the guy looks at me, look me in the eye. He's like, are you sure you're not going to pick up anybody? I'm like, not at this moment, I'm not. Still a lie, kind of, but not a lie, And I'm like, and so, man, the guy got me mad. He was treating me like a kid. And I was like, uh-oh, flesh is coming. Flesh is coming out, You know when the flesh is coming out. And the guy is short. And I'm a psychologist, so I know how to get to short people. And I was like, I wanted to say, I didn't say it. But I wanted to say, you little short guy, you have a Napoleon syndrome. I wanted to say, who do you think you are? Do you need power? Do you need control over people? You already told me that if I crash it, I'm going to pay for it. I wanted to say that. I felt my flesh coming out. And it's too false, kind of, And see, your flesh is deceitful. You think you got it under control. You know how we behave in front of a judge? You know how everybody behaves in front of a judge. Nobody cusses a judge. Even they're mad at judge. Nobody's going to curse him out. Why not? They get thrown in jail. But when we're not in front of a judge, we just can't control it anymore. So we can control it in front of a judge, right? But outside, we can't control it. We're helpless. The devil made me do it, crowd, And so Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, you know what? If I didn't expose you to that situation, you would think you're good. That you don't need any help. That you got it all under control. But I put you in a place where you were out of your normal environment. In City of Sioux Falls, it's a small city. Everybody knows you. You got to act like a pastor. You know what I mean? You got to act good. But when he puts you where somebody doesn't know you, your flesh tries to show you who you really are. So in front of a judge, we're good. But in our homes, we let it loose. Amen. So be careful. Okay? It's a lie of the devil that I'm a good person. Bible says no one is good. Do you remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Jesus, a good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? to eternal life. And Jesus says, why are you calling me good? There's no one good but God. So the light of the devil, do you think it's a coincidence that everybody says I'm a good person? And Jesus said, no one is good but God. He says, don't even call me good, but God is good. See, sometimes we believe a lie, we hear a lie, and we repeat a lie. And then we believe it again. I am a good person. No, no, no. If only I put you in a position that's uncomfortable for you or unfamiliar to you, put a little pressure on you. That's when true personality comes out. When we are with our friends and those who love us, of course we're good people. But put us in front of our enemy who we can't stand and see what comes out. That's still there. Heart is deceitful above, wicked above all things. Gotta be careful that we don't believe this lie. Amen? All right, let's keep going. So a person must hear the word. And the best way he can hear it is from you. But don't just speak it and leave it at that. Keep speaking it. Be that mentor to somebody. You know that God doesn't just want your finances to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful in His kingdom. He wants you to be fruitful in bringing people to Jesus. Amen. So if you, throughout the whole year, didn't bring anybody to Jesus, you're unfruitful. But you're fruitful financially. Maybe you're just trying to serve God for money. See, if we're fruitful, let's be fruitful in all of our life. Not just try to be fruitful financially. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when a person hears the word, it's a very critical stage. Two things happen. One, he rejects the word. Cannot be any fruit when he rejects the word. Okay? Or, number two, he accepts it. Now, when a person accepts the word of God, let's put Psalm 119 verse 130. Listen to this. What happens when a person accepts the entrance of, read it together. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So what happens is, first step, somebody's got to speak it. Faith comes by hearing, so somebody's got to hear it. When a person hears it, let's leave it there, guys. When a person hears that, when the word enters into their heart, it brings light. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Just be patient with me. Remember, Jesus said He wants us to be light, shining. And a seed cannot grow without light. Amen. So, you hear the word, you let it fall into your heart. But with the word, if you open your heart to it, the entrance of the word gives light. So it starts shining in your heart. First you hear it, the seed falls into the good ground. God begins to shine inside of your heart, in your soul. Amen? Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, guys, put that up there. For God said, let there be light in the darkness. Do you know that God hates darkness? He says, let there be light. Then it says this, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So God wants the light to shine in your heart. Now, why is it important for the light to shine in your heart? Why is it the seed is enough? How come the seed is not enough? Let's read Mark. Come back to Mark. Verse 22. For everything hidden in your heart will eventually be brought into open when light comes. Okay? Every secret will be brought to light. Okay, so watch what happens. You hear it. It falls in your heart. The light starts shining. Why do we need a light? Because our heart is not that good. It's deceitful. So God has to unravel, unopen some secrets in your heart. God has to take some things out, but how can he take things out when you don't see it? Amen. So what God does, he comes into our heart. God is light, and in him there's no darkness. So what is light? Light is God. He comes in our heart and starts shining in our heart. And then you begin to see, whoa, I'm not that good. Yesterday, that light shined in my heart. And I was like, thank God I was able to control my mouth, but I couldn't control my emotions. But the light exposed some things that I need to work on in my life. Listen to this again. For everything that is hidden, there's things hidden in your heart. And things that are hidden like to hide in darkness. And God says, when the light comes in, it exposes things. Remember Saul, who later became Apostle Paul? He was persecuting church. He was killing believers. He was putting them in prison. He separated parents from their children. He separated a husband from their wives. He was stoning Stephen when he was being killed. He was there. He was a zealot. He wanted to destroy this religion, this faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's walking on the road to Damascus to kill more Christians, to destroy more believers. And as he's walking to Damascus, what happened to him? Light appeared to him. But how many of you know it wasn't a physical light? Because how come everybody else didn't see it? They didn't see it. Only he saw it. It wasn't a physical light. It was the light of the glory of God. God appeared to him to the point that it made his physical eyes blind. See, God is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. He doesn't want you to be in darkness. So when light comes in a person's heart, it starts exposing how evil actually sin is. You know, some people don't really think that sin is evil. And as a believer, for a long time, you look at them and you're like, what do you mean? There's two ways of looking at things. You can look at things from kingdom perspective and from the world perspective. The world looks at AIDS and the kingdom looks at AIDS. Both believe that disease is horrible, right? And so the world says, well, we just got to get everybody a condom. That's the darkness way of doing things. But believers, we look at the Bible and say, well, God says that if you stay abstinent, you can't even have this. You don't even have to worry about it. Condoms break. Right? Things happen. Herpes are transferred through kissing even. And I just read a study recently, a week and a half ago, that herpes are really attacking women. The numbers, just search it out. I'm not going to give you details, but search it out and you'll read that study. I mean, it's horrible what's happening out there. And see, there's two ways of looking at it. You can look at it from the world point of view, well, just protect yourself. Or from God's point of view. See, when we sing this song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. Why? And some of you have been singing it for years and you still can't see. Got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. God's got a problem with that. So when light comes in, it exposes things in your heart. It shows you who you really are. Now, you can act when you see what God shows you. You can say, oh, that's just too hard. That's just too much work. God doesn't really expect all that from me. You can do that. Or you can say, God, remove it from me. You remember Isaiah, the prophet, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6, the temple was filled with glory. He saw God on the throne. When he saw that light, what did he say? Let me read it to you. Isaiah 6. Do we have that, guys, or no? No, not that scripture. Okay. Isaiah 6, verse like 5 maybe. Please open there if you have your Bibles. Yeah, verse 5. Then I said, Isaiah, when he saw God in a vision, he said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among the people with filthy lips. Isaiah thought he was a good person. Right? He's a prophet. I mean, God used him, but when he came into the light, what happened? He wasn't that good. So when a person says, I'm a good person, I don't need Jesus, they have not been in his light. When a believer says, I'm a good person, I don't need church anymore, I don't need to read my Bible, I'm a good person. You don't have to follow Jesus to be a good person. There's people who live good lives without Jesus. I've heard this. They have not been in the light. Because if you've been in the light, you see who you truly are. And light has a way to exposing you to you. And then you're like, whoa, I'm not that good. I need Jesus. Because the glory of God wants to overtake every little part, every room in your soul, in your heart. It wants to, Bible says, God wants to have the glory of God cover the earth like water covers the sea. Is there any place in the sea where water doesn't cover? Is there a hole like a tube that goes all the way down, water doesn't cover? No. Water covers every little part of the sea. And God wants to take that light, that glory of God, come into your heart, shine light into darkness, transform you. Because how can you shine if you are not shining? That's what hypocritical Christianity is. We act like Christians, but we have no light. Because when you have light, you don't have to act. Amen? And God, and listen, I know a lot of you, and I know myself, I don't want to act as a Christian. I want to be it. It's hard to act. Because then you have to remember how to act. But God wants you to be. So when light comes in, it starts shining upon the Word of God. And the Word of God starts growing. Bible says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is smallest of most seeds. When it falls upon your heart, it starts growing. When that light shines, right? It exposes the darkness. It removes the darkness. So the seed has ability to grow, becomes a tree, bigger than all other trees. And Bible says that animals and birds come and find refuge under its branches, which represents this. There's people who are weary, who are thirsty, who are messed up. Their life is messed up. And they're looking for a tree with big branches. They're looking for shade, meaning rest. And notice it didn't say come to Jesus. Come to you for rest. So you can show them to Jesus. God wants you to be a tree with big branches that produces fruit, where birds of the air, animals come and eat of that fruit and find rest. Some of you are thinking, really? I thought it was God everything. Well, it seems that in James it says, when a brother comes to you hungry and he needs clothes, and you say, go to God, and you don't feed him and you don't clothe him, you didn't do anything. You have to bring him to your house. You have to teach him Bible in your house. You don't just bring him to church and hope that Sunday will do it, 30 minutes on Sunday. No, you have to bring him to your house. So you see, you hear the word, what happens? When you accept it, it goes in your heart and it produces, the entrance of the word brings light. So when the seed falls through your ears into your heart, it produces light. As that light shines and the seed grows, eventually it becomes humongous, produces fruit, 30, which is over here. See, you planted one of these, and this is 30 here. That's pretty good, right? Imagine planting these. But that's not enough. 30 is the least God expects from you. 60 and 100-fold. There's in the Bible, there's even 1,000-fold anointing. Did you know that? Yeah, we'll get there maybe next time. There's 1,000-fold anointing. Imagine planting one and produce 1,000. The cup would be full. Imagine planting 1,000 next year. You're a rich man or a woman. Amen? Hallelujah. So God wants the seed to grow with the light. A lot of people, and this is where a lot of Christians messed up, they start confessing the scripture, but they don't let the light shine in their heart and expose the dark secret place, expose sin, and it can't produce. You know, God cannot bless sin. So if you are walking in darkness, just and expecting God to bring blessing, expect the fruit to grow in your life, it's not going to grow. And I'm just shocked how many Christians today who come to church, confess the name of Jesus, and they leave and go into darkness. I don't want to be in darkness. The only way I'm going to darkness is so I can bring the light. I hate the darkness. I really do. I don't want, I've tried the world out there. And some of you can say this, testify this, that we tried the world out there. There's nothing good there. How is it that to one person sin looks so good, and other one says, I don't want it. It's, one has been exposed to the light. Another one is still in darkness. So of course it's going to look good. Hell, listen to me, and I'm almost done. Hell is out of darkness. Well, where Jesus is, will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's out of darkness. That's where God is not. He's absent. And we don't want to be there. Where nobody can communicate to one another. No one can see one another anymore. That's what hell is. Out of darkness. But God is light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he says, you are the light of the world, city on a hill. And what I want you to do, as you, your light shines from the inside, as you begin to produce fruit, how many of you know when a person starts being a loving person, people start to notice, and they're like, how are you doing this? When a person acts like he loves somebody, we call them people pleasers. I do it, but I hate it. I do it for you, but I hate you, man. I hope you don't call me, because I can't say no. See, that's a fake love, right? That's fake love. But true love, I do it because I love you. And yes, I can say no when I can't do it. That doesn't mean I don't love you when I say no, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Lost my thought. But anyway, hell is darkness. God is light. Kingdom of God is full of light. He wants light to shine in you. He wants that seed that's planted in your heart to grow and produce fruit. So how does it work practically in your life? If you are financially broke, this is how it works. You hear the word about finances. The entrance of the word brings light. Light. Light begins to shine in your heart. Okay, this is greed in your heart. God says, remove it. Light begins to shine as the tree is growing. That's why you won't get financial breakthrough just in a mail. Amen. That's why if you win $1 million and your heart is dark, oh boy, you're in trouble. We know people who win the money but have no light in them. That money destroys them. The riches of a fool destroys them. So we want to grow in the light, and we want to grow in our finances. So we hear the word, right? Faith comes by hearing. We let it fall in our heart. We begin to confess it. We allow the light of God to shine in it. And the seed begins to grow. And before you know it, you're out of debt. I've done it. I've done it before. It's the greatest feeling to be fruitful in your finances, where you can help people who are struggling. You can help the poor. When I was broke, I used to want to help the poor, you know, and I would say to myself, I'm a good person because I just can't. But there's even a better feeling when you can help the poor. Amen. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open. And every secret will be brought into light. Now, the light will expose the good things and the bad things. There's some secrets that you need to know. How do I become debt free? The light will show you how. No, seriously, the light will show you how. It's not only going to show you all the bad things about you. It's going to show you some secrets, some mysteries of the kingdom to help you achieve what you want to achieve, what God called you to do. I don't know if I was clear enough today. But it's not a message just for unbelievers. It's a principle that works in every area. Apply it to your marriage. Apply it to your finances. Apply it to your relationships. Apply it to evangelism. Principles are the same of the kingdom. They will work in every area of your life. Speak it, hear it, let it inside your heart. Let it expose secrets, hidden things. Get rid of the bad things out of it. Don't do it by yourself. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do too much cold turkey things, and it never works. I'm going to quit my Diet Coke, cold turkey, you know. Let God do it. And sometimes it takes time with God. But once He did it, you'll never go back to it again. Hallelujah. Some of you have not understood what's been happening in your heart in the last year, maybe in the last few months. You're like, God, what is going on? Why do I feel this? What are you trying to do? Well, that's that light shining in your heart. And you could choose to reject it and shut it off and put it under the lid. Or you can say, God, help me get rid of this. God, teach me how to do this. I know it's possible because your word says it's possible. Hallelujah.